Let's start with the prayer. Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. What we have not, give us. For the glory of your name. Amen. We're going to focus our thoughts today on the first reading from Acts chapter 2. If you turn to page 116 in the New Testament section of your Bibles. And what an amazing picture we have of the beginnings of the church in that reading. Over the next few months, we will be looking at what the New Testament teaches us about the nature of the church. And today, we look at what happened soon after the day of Pentecost. A group of people who were passionately devoted to God and to each other, where the rich cared for the poor, freedom and expectancy marked their worship, the teaching was transforming lives. No wonder people were drawn to this life. But the question many have asked since then is, if this was possible in first century Jerusalem, then why not today? So let us look a bit more closely at what happened on Jerusalem on that day. So page 116 in your Bibles, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Peter had preached on that momentous day when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, the day of Pentecost, which really marked the birth of the church. And then we read verse 41, those who welcomed Peter's message were baptized. And on that day, about 3,000 persons were added. Wow, 3,000. What should be done with those 3,000 converts? And so we read on, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The apostles' teaching, it was a learning church, constantly listening, going forward, discovering more about God, his wisdom, and his love. And fellowship. Here was a new community with a sense of belonging to each other in ways that we see as we read on. And then the breaking of bread. More than just the sharing of food, this was the remembering and reenacting of the Last Supper, or as we call it, the Holy Communion, which we shall be celebrating in this service. And the prayers. This was a praying church. The early Christians knew that they could not meet life in their own strength. And they didn't need to. They went to God before they went out to the world. They were able to meet the problems of life because they had first met with God in prayer. And then, as we read on, verse 43, awe came upon everyone. A sense of wonder, excitement, reverence because of what was happening. And why? Because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. What are we to make of these signs and wonders or miracles of healing? We don't see these things happening today, or do we? Some have claimed that signs and wonders are limited to the age of the apostles. They say this doesn't mean that miracles never happen, it just means they're not the typical or normal way ministry is done today. And it's assumed that the healing ministry of Jesus and the apostles was unique. The signs and wonders were not done by Christians in general, but were the signs of the apostles. And where the apostles died out, the signs died out. That's one opinion, one interpretation of that passage. But I ask, is this just a cop-out, a lack of faith? Because miracles do happen today, albeit not so often as we would like. So should we rather expect great things from God and attempt great things for God? I remember an enthusiastic young Christian in Pakistan 35 years ago. He used to go around wearing a T-shirt which said, "Expect a miracle from God every day." And that was particularly poignant because he had rather a paunch as well, so he was expecting. That young man today is Bishop of Lahore, a wise and godly man. But what a good motto to start the day with. Expect a miracle from God every day. As we read on, there is a great sense of community, belonging, shared living, worshipping together. All who believed, verse 44, were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute their proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. And the outcome? They praised God, they had the goodwill of all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Whenever we read the scriptures, it's good to ask ourselves three questions. Is there a promise to claim? Is there an example to follow? Is there a sin to avoid? So here, do we have an example to follow? Perhaps we think if we follow the example of the early Christians, then God would bless our community and more people would be drawn into a living relationship with God as a result. So should we all be living shared lives, having everything in common, sell our possessions in order to give to those in need? In the past, this is what has inspired some people to set up religious monastic communities, sharing everything, poverty, my mind's gone now. The community then became their family for the rest of their lives. Some people are still called to this particular type of life, often called the rule of St. Benedict, a wise and inspiring 6th century Christian leader in Italy. The monastic communities, religious communities, monks and nuns. And that's one way of following the example of the early Christians. But it is a way of life which is a special calling for some people only. So are there any other ways in which we could or should follow the example of the early church? A second example is in the model of what has been called intentional communities, where a group of Christians live together and share in a common and specific task. And Mary and I have experienced of this as members of the Lee Abbey community in London. Our task there was to provide a home from home for students of any nationality and any or no faith while they were studying in London. 150 students living in Lee Abbey International Students Club. And as we cared for them in the student hall of residence, I say we because it was not only us, of course there were 30 members of our Christian community who were doing all the work in the hostel. As we cared for them, we aimed to communicate Christ through relationships. That was our mission statement. Well, living in community like this is a very enriching experience, but not easy. As we lived and worked and worshipped with the same group of people, you couldn't get away from them. And we learned a lot about ourselves and how much we need God's grace to live with other people with all their faults and annoying habits. But of course, they need God's grace to live with us and all our faults and peculiarities also. Intentional communities. Again, that's something that some people are called to, but not all. A third example, which some have followed, is to join in an extended household, where several families and single people live together in a shared life, a shared commitment to God and to each other. This is again good for those who are called to it, but for most of us today, the pattern of our lives is in small nuclear family units or single households. So we must ask, is there any way in which we can learn from the community experience of the early church, even though we live our lives most of the time in separate households? And the answer must surely be yes. For surely, as fellow Christians, we have a shared bond of faith, a shared purpose to follow Jesus, and we remember the words of Jesus in our gospel reading from John 10 today. Jesus, the good shepherd, who was the door or the gate to what he described as life abundant. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Well, in Lechlade, we're very fortunate to be living in a caring community where there is a great deal of loving care given by many to those who are going through a difficult time, whether that's visiting, driving people to hospital or doctor's appointments, taking meals round to people when they're going through a time of crisis or whatever. And there are many who, following the example of early Christians, care for each other in Lechlade, especially at times of need, and give hospitality and share their resources in practical ways. The early Christians distributed the proceeds of their, when they sold their property, to all as any had need. And they spend time together. Many people do that in Lechlade. These are what many kind and socially conscious people do here in Lechlade, sometimes giving sacrificially of themselves. Very interested in the Men Allowed Out group on Thursday evening, when discussion came along these lines, and it helped me in my thinking of how to follow this example and to take up this passage. And so I ask myself, is there anything specific which we contribute as Christians in our society when caring for others? What lessons can we learn from the experience of the early church about living as a Christian community? In other words, what does living in community mean for us as Christians today? Well, we look at the passage again, page 116. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And then at the end of the passage, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home, ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. So is there anything we specifically can do as Christians? And surely the main point is, yes, we have Jesus as our model, and trust in the living Lord and the resurrected Lord. And part of our life then is praying with and for each other. And this is the distinctive nature of our shared life, prayer, even though we don't actually live in the same household together. This includes, of course, worshipping and praying together in church, as we are doing here and now, but also praying for those in particular need. And let's face it, most of us, for much of the time, have concerns for which we value prayer. This may mean praying with and for people when we visit them or take them to hospital or visit them in hospital or provide meals or whatever it might be when we spend time with them. It may be praying with them. Don't be afraid to do that, if you feel that they would appreciate it. Of course, we don't do that if we feel it would be inappropriate. But don't hold back in doing that, praying with people if the opportunity arises. But even if we don't pray with them, we can pray for them at any time. Pray for their particular needs that we've heard about and shared, and when we share our lives with them. There's a leaflet at the back of the church about small groups, and some on the chest at the back there, and they show various ways in which we can live as a community. And one of them is the Bible study groups, and there's a whole list of them and who to contact there, at the back there. And then there are various other things, but there's also the prayer, the parish prayer meeting, which is tomorrow evening in the vicarage, and the Wednesday morning, and prayer triplets. A number of us meet with ones or twos as triplets and discuss things in confidence with each other and then pray for each other. This is a great support, and it's one aspect of our living as a Christian community today. And the telephone number of Denver, who organizes those prayer triplets, is on the sheet. Take time to be with each other. The early church, they spent much time together in the temple. Stay behind after church, after the service today. Meet someone you haven't spoken to before. Exchange names. Perhaps make a point of meeting with one new person each time you come to church. And I'm amazed sometimes that regular people who worship with us don't know very many other people. Take time to get to know perhaps one new person after the service today. This is all part of our fellowship as a community of Christians. Some may feel this is not for me. I'm not one of the in-group. I like the comment of Richard Wurmbrandt when he said, "I'm so glad that the church is not perfect. If it were, I could not be a member of it, and I do want to be a member of the church." The church is a community of sinners praying for each other and for the world. And don't forget, the prayer ministry team are here after the service to pray with you if you would like to do that. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers, and day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So as we journey together in our life of faith, let us expect God to do great things among us here in Lechlade. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be less of what we used to be, and that we may become more of what you want us to be. Amen.